You see, it's interesting, isn't it? You can move one thing and everything changes. And I'm finding at the moment that that's what happens in our world. One thing you think is stable and sure, and it will be moved, and everything changes. We've just now got the rule of six, which I keep calling the rule of four that I've come up. But I think that's a book, the rule of four. That's why we've now got the rule of six coming in tomorrow. Things are changing all the time. Once we think we're easing out something, something is moved, and everything changes. And it can knock us because sometimes we're getting more, and then everything's drawn back again, and we start to feel a little bit despondent. When we look to the Bible, there's a lot of people who feel despondent in the Bible, especially in the Psalm. There's a lot of despondency and a lot of people saying things, "Oh Lord, please help me." There's a lot of that in the Psalms. But there's also a lot of hope in and among the ever-changing times in which they're living. And Psalm 33, at the end of it, says this: "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, even as what our hope is." And today we're going to think a little bit about the promise of God, the ever unchanging of God. As our world is changing and daily things change, we're going to think about how God is there, solid. But first we're going to cue Cheryl and David getting up off their sofa. And we're going to sing a song that we very well. It's "Before the Throne of God Above Us." We approach God, we have confidence. We've talked about this before, confidence to come before God and to approach his throne, and he will receive us grace and love. I'm going to mute you all so you can sing with great abundance and joy. I'll mute myself as well. Let's sing together. Well, we're going to be coming back to the book of Hebrews today. If you've been with us for our whole journey on Zoom, you'll know that we looked at the book of Hebrews before the summer. We studied up to chapter 6, and we looked at lots of different things, including the greatness of Jesus, how he's greater than everything else, encouragement to continue walking with God. We looked at Moses, and we looked at the angels, and we looked at lots of different things. And then we had a break where we looked at Moses' life in a bit more detail. We went to the book of Exodus and we walked a little bit through that. And now we're back to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to be reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 13. Paula will be reading this. I'll just find Paula. Here we are, and unmute.
Just done it.
Oh, she's done it. You see? Yeah. Good, thank you. So Paula's going to read to us.
This might be a slightly different version to the one that appears on. "For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, 'I will certainly bless you richly, and I will multiply your descendants into countless millions.' Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. When people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, the oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given us both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can take new courage, for we can hold on to his promise with confidence. This confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain of heaven into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the line of Melchizedek."
Thank you, Paula. Now we're going to look a bit more at that Bible passage in a moment, but you will see that in that it talks about an anchor for the soul. And so the challenge this morning is to create an anchor. You can do this by drawing it, of course, or you could be more creative. Make an actual anchor. Apparently there are lots of anchors, just as an aside. I don't know this, but I was looking up anchor a little bit. And there's lots of different anchors for different types of ground and also different types of boat. Did you know that? I'm sure you all. That's another little fact for the day. Extra one, just as a bonus. So make an anchor. Create an anchor while you're listening to what's been said, if you would like. So the book of Hebrews, this short passage in the book of Hebrews is essentially a passage about encouragement, as I was saying earlier. The author, if we remember from before the summer holidays, when we studied the first part of the book, has already talked about the greatness of Jesus. He has proved in many ways how Jesus is so much greater than the angels and so much greater than the law. He's even greater than Moses, said the author, this wonderful man of God who we just had a break to take a look at over the summer. And the author has already challenged the readers to keep seeking after God, to go deeper in their faith rather than being satisfied with simple answers. He started the idea of Jesus, our great high priest, at the end of chapter 4. And it's a theme that's picked up on in chapter 7 and chapter 8. And then we get to this little passage that Paula read, this little passage today, nestled in between these grand ideas, ideas of priesthood and law and covenant and sacrifice. It's a passage that's first and foremost about hope, one that mentions security and reliability. And more than anything else, it's a passage that relies on promises. Now, when I was thinking about this passage, I was reminded of an incident that took place a number of years ago, which my mum will remember as she is here, I'm sure. We get together for Christmas as a family, as I'm sure lots of you do. And one Christmas, before Simon and I had the boys, we were going over to my mum and dad's, and we decided that for Christmas we would bring the fruit, because often, you know, when you go to people's houses Christmas, you say, oh, I'll bring the cheese, I'll bring, you know, the meat, I'll bring whatever. Well, we said, we'll bring the fruit, because we got a big fruit selection delivered to our door with our vegetables and stuff in those days. And we said, oh, it's brilliant, it's wonderful, there's plenty. Well, anyway, over the next few weeks, my mum, you know, when we were speaking to her, would say, now you will remember the fruit, won't you? And we're like, yes, mum, we'll remember the fruit, we promise to bring the fruit, it's a wonderful selection, you don't have to get any more fruit, we'll bring the fruit. This happened about 5 or 6. So Christmas comes, we pack the car, we travel up to Birmingham, we get there, we unpack, we're sitting down chatting, and my mum goes, you did remember the fruit, didn't you? And we're like, fruit, the fruit box. Yes, mom, no, we forgot the fruit. We'd forgotten the fruit after all that, even though we'd promised and we'd stated again and again, and we'd rolled our eyes and we'd gone, yes, mom, we've got the fruit. We forgot, although you'll be pleased to know that we didn't starve, because instead we ate turkey and vegetables and mince pies and Christmas cake and chocolates and sweets and cheese and ham and puddings and all those things that we got, you know, just in case we didn't have enough. But it just goes to show that often, however well-intentioned we are, promises can be hard to keep, however much we desire to make them happen. At school, we would do all sorts of things to convince our friends that we would keep our promises. Some of you might have done these. We would pinky swear. We would cross our hearts. We would swear on our rabbit's life or whatever animal we had at that time. Or, never to be done now, just please don't, because it's not COVID safe, we would spit and shake on it, because that's how you remembered your promise. We do all sorts to show that we were serious about our promises, to always remain friends or to stick together in class or whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, many of these were broken, because keeping promises can be really hard to do. It depends on us and the circumstances around us, and we try our best. And so here at the beginning of our passage, when the author is seeking to talk about promises, and more specifically, the promises of God, this great promise that gives us hope, that expands our horizon, that enables us to follow God and cling on in times of difficulty, he's at pains to push home the fact that God can keep his promises, that he's not like us who struggle and try our best and sometimes succeed, but instead he is faithful to the promises he has made. And to enable the readers of this letter to understand this, the author uses a number of illustrations. The first one he uses is God's promise to Abraham, probably the reason being that Abraham was, of course, a great man of faith by whom the readers of the letters to the Hebrew looked up to and thought about. He was the father of their faith. And so the author reminds the readers that he was the one who had first received the promise of God, that Abraham would be made into a great nation. And that through Abraham, there would be as many descendants of the stars in the sky. And how even though Abraham doubted these promises at times, like when Sarah, his wife, was unable to have children, or when he took matters into his own hands and slept with Hagar to produce a son, when push came to shove, Abraham trusted the promises that God had given him. To the point that when he eventually did have a son with Sarah, he was willing to sacrifice Isaac at God's request, trusting that God will continue to be faithful, even in those dire circumstances. Now we're going to pause for a minute here to take a quick look, well, a little cartoon about this part of the story of Abraham and Isaac. So hopefully this will appear on. You'll know the story of Abraham and Isaac, of course, when God asks Abraham to take Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice something. And then when he gets there, Isaac is, well, what are we going to sacrifice, to his dad? And he ties Isaac up and puts him down on the altar to sacrifice to God. But then at the last minute, oh, well, I won't tell you. You can watch it. You see, the author of the Hebrews, by bringing attention to this story of Abraham and Isaac, this story of faith and trust, seeks to show the readers that no matter what happens, God will keep his promises, because God is not human. He doesn't make promises by swearing on higher powers, as was a legal requirement in the court of the time that Hebrews was written. And he doesn't seek to keep them by pinky promise or crossing his heart or spitting and shaking. Instead, God swears to keep his promises by himself. He swears by his own unchanging character, if you like, and his own divine nature to never let us down and to always keep the promises he has made. And in that sense, his promises can never be broken, says the author to the Hebrews, because according to his character, it is impossible for God to lie. And therefore, impossible for God to break the promises he has made. Abraham proved this by clinging on to the promises of God, even when he messed up, even when it seemed impossible, even when God called him to trust in the most difficult of circumstances. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. This was his hope, and his hope was realized. And so the author to the Hebrews said that in a similar way, whatever our circumstances, we can all do the same. Because just like Abraham, we too have hope. Hope that one day the promises of God will become reality. And you know, we're not talking about any old hope here. We're not talking about wishful thinking, that kind of hope. You know, I hope that West Ham will win the Premier League this season. Or actually, based on last night's result, maybe just not get relegated would be better. Or I hope I'll be able to get a dentist appointment tomorrow. Or, you know, I hope life does return to normal by Christmas. It's not a hope that makes us stick our heads in the sand in a way as reality carries on, or enables us to walk around with them in the clouds, ignoring life. It's not a hope that cannot deal with the reality of life around us. Instead, it's a hope that is anchored in Jesus, who himself is in the very presence of God, in the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Or if you like, it is a hope that is both realistic and immovable. One that if we cling on to it, will be an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So that whatever happens, just like what happened with Abraham, whatever storms we face, whatever problems are encountered, whatever errors we make, there is a hope that will be kept safe in God and one day make real the promises that he has made. You know, Simon and I used to do quite a lot of climbing when we were first married. Not like, you know, outside on real mountains, but inside climbing walls. We used to go to a place called the West Way in London, really high climbing walls. And I used to really enjoy it. But the one that I liked best was when you climbed with a rope attached to you. So there's like the top roping when you climb, where you've got a rope attached to the top of the wall. And so as you climb up, if you slip, it's fine because the rope holds you secure and you don't go very far. And it gives you a bit more confidence because you can reach out for a hold that maybe you wouldn't be able to get, but it's okay because the rope will hold you if you fall down. But there's also lead climbing, which we had a go at, which is where you have the rope. And as you climb up the wall, you clip it in to various attachments on the way. And that's a bit more scary because you can fall quite a long way to the bit that you're attached to below you. So top roping is much more, well, it's better because you can be much more confident and you can know that you're always attached. And you know, in a way here, the writer to the letters to the Hebrews is saying that the promises of God, this great hope we have, no matter what our circumstances, no matter how dark it gets, are like a top rope that is secured in the presence of God by Jesus. So that even though we can slip, even though we can fall, even though we can still not know what to do in life, at the end of the day, we are always held securely. And even when our bodies fail, there is an anchor for our souls that will last forever. This is hope. This is our hope. And if we hold on to it, if like Abraham, through mistakes and waiting and trials, we continue to trust the promises, all that Jesus has done and all that that means for us, rather than what we see in front of us, we will one day realise the truth of these promises in all their glorious fullness. And you know, today, when we look around at all that is happening, at a world where things seem to change on the roll of a dice at 24 hours notice, you know, where things are uncertain and unsure and unclear, where no one really knows the answer to our problem, this truth about God's promise is good to remember. In fact, it's more than good to remember, because it helps us to know that life is so much more than what we see before us. Life is so much more than the promises of the politicians or the promises of the health organisations or the promises of the researchers. And that our hope is not waiting on a vaccine, but instead our hope is in God. And like we said last week, we're part of a much bigger story where God makes the promise and where God is faithful to the promises that he has made. And if we continue to hold on to him, which in reality means continuing to believe and trust in Jesus and the things that he has done and will do in our world, rather than anything else, then we will find that whatever happens, we are held secure because it is God who is holding on to us. And one day he will complete his work. One day he will fulfill his promises. But until that time, we always and forever have hope because our hope in God who holds us securely. Let's take a moment as we think about these words of God to just pause and pray together. We might want to take a moment of quiet before God. Normally we do this at the beginning of the service, but you could put your palms down in front of you, maybe thinking about the things that concern you, the worries, maybe thinking about what our hope has been in. Has it been in the words of the researchers, in the words of the medical staff, in the words of the politician? Has our hope been waiting for that vaccine or that solution, or waiting for a time when society can go back to normal? So as we go from here, hopefully to the breakout groups, but you, yep. May God bless us. May God keep us. May we remember his wisdom, and may we always...
Amen.
So if anybody... wants to send me a little quick photo of their anchor, I could use them for a nice kind of summary.
So hopefully we'll stay at the breakout groups. If you don't, then we'll see you next week in the week. Have a good week.
I'm doing rooms now.